Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left, AEPA team himself. Alex, how you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, GW himself. Garrett, how you doing?
Doing good.
Wednesday Comics podcast. My name is Marvin. Here to tell you about comics in the comic book world. We have our comic book review of from our comic book club later on today. We have one in the Rogues Gallery of Batman of the series One Bad Day to review. And then also I have a surprise game that we will play here in a moment, actually. We will do that. There our friend Biz Markie with, along with the Beastie Boys, singing Billy and the Jets. Benny and the Jets, excuse me. Not Billy.
The way he was thinking, it might be Billy and the Jets.
It might be. I believe there's two of those words you got right. That's me when you're like, you know when you like say, hey, I'll do this. Like nobody wants to do something, so you're like, I'll do it. And then you realize you're not going to know how to actually fucking do that. That's what happened there. He's like, I'll fucking sing the song. And then he's like, shit, I don't know the words. It's not that he couldn't sing it. But then he realized, oh, I got to sing lyrics. And he didn't remember. And to be fair,
I just want to let everyone know, that's how I sing songs they don't know either.
You're trying to do the sounds more so than the words. Because you're like, I know how this sounds in my head, but I don't know the words for it.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. I never thought of it that way. You're right. I'm just trying to make the sound, not the word.
Phonetically. You are the real world's banshee, in a way. Yeah. Wednesday Comics Podcast. I will tell you this, Garrett. I know Alex doesn't play Marvel Snap, even though he knows what it is. And you have gotten out of that game a little bit.
I've been on the outs for a bit.
The cards for this season, I don't know if I like that much. Last season they were good.
That's I don't know, man. Like when they did X, like Spider-Verse was the last one, it was awesome. They went right into X-Men. I'm having such an out with X-Men right now. I'm just burned by the comics.
Excuse me, it's the Phoenix Force.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck?
No, that was last month. You're right, it is X-Men.
Yeah, I'm it's
Wolverine and Big in Japan. That's what it is. So it's all Wolverine's X-23, Dakin, Silver Samurai, Lady Deathstrike. I thought there were one more.
There's one more. I can't remember who it is. The Honey Badger.
I'm not sure. I it might be, but the thing with these cards is that like. The things that they do, except for Lady Deathstrike, she's pretty good, are things that other cards can do and probably do them better. But I'm still playing that, and they have that new mode, the Conquest mode, and that's just too hard. I can never get past. It's fun, but also you have to know that you're gonna get pissed off.
Well, yeah, I think that's the thing too. It's like you do get a lot of rewards for doing it, but it takes like 15 minutes, and like if the person you're playing against is like actually good too, and so it's just like, what the fuck?
Or you're playing against somebody who takes the full time every time, and they do shit moves and they lose anyways. I'm like, what the fuck were you doing? You don't come to the conquest mode first. Learn how to play the game. Anyway, so I've been playing that. The art's good though, and I always enjoy when you get one of those variant cards and I recognize the artist and it looks nice, so I put that card on there. Outside of that realm, I did go see
I sent you guys a gift. I felt pretty creative.
Outside of that, I did finally go see I saw Blue Beetle, and I thought it was fun.
You said, Gary, you totally undersold it, and I'm just like, well, I mean, I feel like it was an origin movie. So getting past that though, no, I was having a blast. Like all the call outs to Blue, like to Ted Kord, and like seeing like the flying beetle, fucking loved it. Like, and the comedy was there, and it was, yeah, no, it was great.
I thought the way that you said that Ted was in it, I thought he was in it less.
He's not in it at all.
No, I mean the mentions of him. Like, his daughter's in it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the whole story's about him, basically.
Right.
I think
right.
You meant, like, they show, like, his name once or twice, but really he's, like, the background focus of the movie. If there was a B story, he's the B story.
Right.
Yeah,
well, I liked Jenny Cord. Like, I thought she was a great, like, original character. She might be real. I don't know. But
I was talking with somebody else who saw the movie, and they were saying that they heard that they're not going to make another one. James Gunn said it was in.
He did say it was in. I didn't see anything about it not getting a sequel. There hasn't been a sequel announced yet.
Maybe not even sequel. Maybe he just means James Gunn means he'll be as part of that universe. Like if they made a Teen Titans or something like that, Young Justice movie, he would be in that.
Right.
Oh, there we go.
Because it's not connected enough to anything to be it has to be part of some universe. You know, it can just be thrown into anything.
Oh, there we go.
Is it the best DCU movie out?
What was that?
Is it the best DCEU or DC movie that's been made?
No. But I think it was the best Blue Beetle movie I've ever seen.
Oh, nice. Nice, good thing. I like it. Okay.
So James Gunn said he's going to be a character in the DCU, but the first DCU movie is going to be Superman Legacy. So that gives me an inkling that we're gonna see him again in a future movie.
Alex, to answer your question about if it's the best one, I would say I enjoyed the Suicide Squad ever since then, I guess, because I think didn't Wonder Woman come out? Wonder Woman 1984 come out after that.
Yeah.
No, 84 came out first.
Okay. Well, then I can't say that blanket statement. I'll just say that. If we were to put them all on the list, it definitely would rank somewhere near the top of it. Probably top five at least. Because when I think about when you said that, and then Garrett's like, no, I was kind of thinking back, and I was like, if we're just talking about this slate of movies, nothing to come before it, or nothing about these one shots like the Batman, and things like that. If you actually think about the ones they try to make into that universe, then you got a case. Maybe it's one at least the top five, top four.
DC movies, but it's not. I don't think it's connected to the DCU at all. There's a difference.
I mean, technically, let's say this: when the old regime was in place, this movie was announced, so it was something they had as part of their plans. Just because James Gunn can pivot and make it part of his plans, doesn't mean that. I feel like it didn't feel like those other movies. Like those other movies had some sort of notes from the studio to say, "Hey, make it like dark." Super gritty, like the jokes are all very on the nose, and then this movie does not seem like that. It's colorful. The score is like this kickback to like the 80s, like synth music, and the whole family dynamic I feel like is different than it would have been in the past. Like it just feels like they were actually given rights to be like, hey, make something realistic instead of being like, hey, just make fun of Mexican people. It actually felt like they knew the culture. Like I went to go see it, and that grandma, and I know you guys are gonna laugh because of how she's or Garrett, you're gonna laugh because of how she's portrayed in the movie, but like that grandma, I was like, that's my grandma. Like the same clothes that she wore in that movie, I was like, my grandma used to wear those clothes too. And the things, the way that she kind of acted before we get to the, you know, part where she has to help out. But just the normal stuff that she was doing, I was like, I realized after I left that movie, I go in mainstream movies. I'm not talking about any kind of things they made outside the big studio. These tentpole movies is probably the first time I've ever seen that in a movie. It was all those kind of things, in which personally I never felt like I needed a movie to show me those things. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is this feels like I'm being, I don't want to phrase it this way, but I can't think of any way to phrase it. I'm being seen, like they know my story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think, being like, there's probably, for the longest time, people could find that message, but they weren't people of minorities. So it's always good when we start showing the other side. It may not be what every other movie's like, but like everything, like, I don't know, that whole family dynamic, I was like, that's it right there. Like, that's not a inaccuracy. That's not a exaggeration. Like, that's how Spanish families are together. So,
right. No, I thought it was really great. Like, yeah, getting to see, you know, the culture, and like Paloma City just looked bitchin', actually. Did you catch the first time they showed the Cord Enterprises right behind it was LexCorp?
I think I did see that, but then I just see this thing, and we're going back to see whether or not this is connected or not. Those things that you mentioned, that you could call out to those big characters, I was like, so in your head, you're kind of like, is this new? Are they talking about new people that we haven't seen before? Are they talking about the past people? And it really doesn't matter. But then they throw in Easter eggs like that. You're like, I'm not sure where, because it's nothing new that they're showing you. They're not showing you like that Batman doesn't exist and he'll be there soon. But they also don't show that they kind of are talking like people know who that they are already. They're established and they're out there. So,
yep, it's pretty ambiguous. So it could fit anywhere if it had to connect.
I also want to say, like, I feel like Marvel, and not to go beat a dead horse more than we have, but I feel like what they're kind of missing, they're trying to add, like, these characters that are, like, the Blue Beetle kind of character. America Chavez, for instance, I would say is probably about the same popularity kind of, like, level in Marvel as in DC. And, like, she should have had her own movie. Like, they could have done this first. They could have had their own. She could have had her own movie, and maybe have Doctor Strange be the secondary character. But instead, they went with the Doctor Strange thing, and this false narrative that these somehow were connected to those TV shows, and you needed to be watching all this stuff. And then they barely would mention what happened to them. All that convoluted mess in which they try to recreate the connectivity of the Infinity Saga. I think they just made an America Chavez movie and then just made it stand on its own. Like, none of this stuff stands on its own anymore, Marvel. You can't watch something without this thing being added to it.
Right.
It was good just to see a movie, and even though they do those kind of Easter eggs, it was, like, all there. Like, that's what we're paying attention to, this story here with these characters. And I actually felt like in the climax of the kind of finale, you care for those characters, and you really actually were, like, see them as real people, versus as in these other movies, you could always be like, because there was so much that you could see on screen that was like, you know, this was a fucking fight. They reshot this. They cut this here. It looks too different from the other thing. And you're too distracted by all that stuff. Or at least I am. When I went to go see like Batman versus Superman or Justice League, the whole time I'm just thinking, is this Zack Snyder, or is this Joss Whedon? I'm like looking and trying to figure it out. It just felt good to go in there and be like, hey, I don't know what to expect from this. I hope it's its own thing, but if it's connected whatsoever, I guess that's cool too, unless if we can do it correctly. But then it was his own thing, and I was like, that's what we should be doing. Like, establish these characters again. That's what they did so well in the first phase of Marvel, and now they're not having these standalone movies that are introducing these new characters. Instead, they're just shoving them in with other existing ones, hoping to get some sort of, I don't know, spark going to get a young, not Young Justice, Young Avengers going.
Yeah, I don't want to beat the dead horse either. So I'm with you. I'm just like, someday they gotta, like, I mean, give us fucking Fantastic Four and be done with it. Like, come on, give us something. Like, Kang's obviously not doing it for us right now, so you got to do something else. Got to pivot.
Let's not even talk about all of Disney, how much money they have. But let's just say Marvel Entertainment, in terms of the good graces that you've put out there, so that people see you have a movie coming out and they're going to it. That was just what was happening back then. Like, during the Infinity Saga, you were like, I'm going to that Marvel movie. People just went to them because they knew that they would get a movie that they can watch on its own, and it would be connected. So if I had watched other ones, I would get more stuff out of it. It wasn't required, but I was good to be around. And then as you're saying, like, nowadays it's just like, I don't know. I had a point I lost somewhere there, but I was just thinking that with these movies, like, they should have just restarted them. Oh, that's what I was going to say. They have all these good graces, and they can use it as an opportunity to take more risk, and they could have done an America Chavez movie. They could have did a Kate Bishop movie instead of a TV show in which, like, probably most of the general public doesn't even know that character exists right now, even though possibly they'll announce that she's going to be leading the movie. You know,
and for a connected universe, how the fuck do you have Spider-Man No Way Home? You have Spider-Man literally web slinging over Rockefeller Center Square, or whatever, where the ice rink is, and then the fucking finale battle in Hawkeye takes place at that same ice rink, and you don't even show him like swinging in the background or something.
Yeah,
it would be so easy as like a shitty CGI Spider-Man went by. Like, what the hell?
You know what the Secret Invasion would have been cool is if they would have put the Fantastic Four at the end of that, or at least have brought Reed Richards in. Like, you're talking connectivity, and I watched the Honest trailer today because I'm not going to watch that piece of shit, Secret Invasion.
But so you all can watch Emilia Clarke do zero acting and not even lift her lips at all.
And that's honestly kind of what they mentioned in that video. And in my brain, I'm thinking, we've talked about before, how do you not have more heroes in that movie? Which is the whole universe to fight those Skrulls to begin with.
Right, and you know what kills me about that is, like, Emilia Clarke's actually a great actress, and, like, I was watching some clips of, like, Game of Thrones on TikTok, and I'm just like, how do you go from this amazing acting to this flat character that I gave two shits about? Doesn't make sense. It was almost just like being in it for a paycheck.
Well, if you're going to get a paycheck, best to get it from Disney,
I guess. But I was like, man.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying, though. Like, Disney, even if you get Disney out of there, and let's say Marvel Entertainment by itself has so much, not only good graces with their audience, at least they did after Infinity Saga, they could have made any movie they wanted to and people would go see it. And they had the ability, because they're probably the most powerful studio that is making movies right now, because of the hit after hit after hit that they were putting out, they could have literally just, like, dropped the slate of movies. They don't need to do advertising for them or take these chances that you guys are saying with their series and doing something that's not just what we expected. Is like having a Fantastic Four show up in something else, or have it be like a, hey, you know what? We're making a movie and we're putting it on Disney Plus. It doesn't mean that it's lesser than something that's going to go in the theaters, but this is like a side thing and really it's not important. You know what I mean? It's like they have these ways they can be taking these risks, and they certainly earned it, and they certainly have enough money to be doing this, but yet they not only play it safe, they play safe to a very specific part of their audience that likes watching and watching them in the theater and in TV, everything. And, like, examining all of it and, like, talking about it forever. Like, I feel like we weren't even, like, if we were younger during this phase, I think we wouldn't be able to keep up with it even then. Like,
right.
Back then it was like, too much. One thing here, one thing there. It led. It was like, it was momentum. It all lead to the finale of the end game. And that's when it was crazy. Now it seems like everyone, they wanted to make it the same kind of crazy.
Well, hopefully with the course correct, because, like, we have the Marvels in November, and I don't think we have anything until Cap in May. So I hope. If there's something in between. I mean, they need to go back to doing, like, one Marvel movie, 6 months spread apart. And fucking, if you're going to give us an end credit, I don't even want two end credit scenes anymore. Just give me a mid-credit.
I was thinking about, like, that.
Teasing the next movie.
I would say that about Blue Beetle. That was the one thing I was like, two? I was like, not everybody earns two, all right? One. Like, have it at the very end. That's how we used to do it, old school. There was only one at the very end. If you're going to put, if you want to have an end one, then that's the only one you get. Otherwise, yeah, you have to earn the two. Like,
and always the second one now, like the one that's at the very end, is just, like, worthless.
Yeah, they make it not important. It's like, you realize, like, for instance, Guardians 3, because I think we all saw it. You wait till the very, very end. It's him and his dad eating, not his dad, his grandpa. Eating cereal. And you're like, I waited for this.
Yeah.
So like even on the way out, they gotta fucking hit you in the nuts and be like, I just made you wait for this shit.
Because you know I'm gonna wait. America end credit is the fucking trailer for Avengers. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you set up this little relationship that if we wait to the end, you give us something that was worth it. And this whole second phase, they've just been kicking in the nuts. Not second phase. It's not second phase. It's what, 6, 4, 5?
Phase 4.
Phase 4.
Which some could say is the downfall of the MCU.
I don't know. They could pick it up. I feel like
they have a chance, but they have to do something quick.
It definitely does feel like they're slowing down right now. You know, they were getting a little bit off of the track, had to pull the handbrake back a little bit, and they're trying to course correct. Now we see whether or not during the course correction if they get back on track or if it eventually falls over. But I think they could get back on track. There's some changes I could say right now that they could do, and it can make it. Corey says it, and I agree. No more TV shows.
Right.
Enough.
Well, speaking of course correct, how good was that CGI in Blue Beetle? Like, it didn't look like shit like everything has lately.
It was, and I think it was not only CGI, but the style, especially on the Blue Beetle suit. Like, I was thinking about that when, spoilers, it's in the trailer, but he goes through that bus and, like, his facial reactions, and then afterwards, I was like, it's as detailed and as well done as the Deadpool one. And you can actually see him emoting, and like, he doesn't need to take it off. It doesn't need to be every other movie where he takes it off. Like, he leaves it on the whole time. He only takes it off one point because, like, oh, he gets half of it destroyed at one point. But the rest of the time, he has it on. Like, he doesn't take it off to just be like, even though there is a button to, like, because there is one point when he is trying to go back and he just puts the helmet part in. So he could be the whole movie just showing his face, but he's not. So I thought that was cool, too. But
right.
There we go.
Do better, MCU. I'll do it for #guessthisone. #dobetter.
There we go.
Marvel.
#dobetter. I was going to play a sound, but I forgot what it was. So let's see here. I have a quick game for you guys, and it might go quicker than I think. We've been talking New 52 for a while. It's so we're looking back at the New 52 in a way that was not playing, but we are now, kind of, with the Animal Man and then Swamp Thing and
My Vampire.
And so I was thinking about that time and kind of how they set up the schedule and set up, like, they had, like, groups of books that were meant to come out together. And they had also within that families of books that would be, like, Swamp Thing and Animal Man and My Vampire would all be that family. And I remember that one sheet that they would put in the back of comics that had the dates that these comics were coming out. And so we're going to play a little trivia.
Oh, shit.
To see who knows this information. Now, this is based on the one that they first put out. I don't know if there was any delays after this. But this is the one that you guys remember with the black and blue, and they had three covers on the side, and if I send you this afterwards, you'd be like, yeah, I remember that shit.
But the previews book, essentially?
Yeah, I had, like, little check boxes next to each one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the thing that we looked through, like, a million times before New 52 came out.
Yeah.
So I still have that. I kept it, and I board and bagged it, so I'm like, fuck, I love looking through that thing.
I think I have it somewhere. I don't know if I boarded and bagged it, but nostalgia right there. I mean, that's the steal of friendship.
That's what I'm
right
saying.
There.
I was thinking about all this shit, and this checklist came to mind. I was like, you know what? We're going to play a little game. Thinking back to when how long we stared at it, we should know these answers of what came out when. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to name two titles, and you tell me which one came out first.
Okay.
So it's either that comic A came out first, or it's going to be comic B came out first. Or it may be that they came out the same time. Those are your three choices. So
okay.
The two of you, I think you can bring up enough memory in your brains, and maybe we can kind of remember when these came out. So to start this.
So Garrett, we're a team.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
So to start this, I was going to say, which came out first, Justice League 1 or Action Comics number 1?
Justice League started it all. I remember that, without a doubt.
Oh, really? I was thinking Action for some reason. I'll go with it. I'll go with JL.
And then, but I do remember, I think, Detective coming out the same week as JL, but no, JL, no, JL was the fifth week of a month, and then it started the regular title, so JL for sure.
Justice League is correct, yes. Came on August 31st.
Yep, dang. Fucking see, in August, it was that fifth Wednesday, mm-hmm. and so they were like, they threw in some annuals and that, and then next week was all the regular New 52s.
Way to go, Garrett.
Genius.
Damn. Two characters. I don't know if that's. I didn't know going in who that was the villain in the movie. So it was a surprise to me. Garrett, was it mentioned beforehand?
What do you mean?
In Blue Beetle?
The villain?
Yeah.
Oh, like Carapax?
Yeah, but the other name they use.
Other name they use.
Red something.
You know what? I'll tell you here in a second. So which one of these books came out first? Blue Beetle number one or OMAC number one?
Ooh, OMAC. You think OMAC did? That was the one with Frankenstein and all them, right?
Nope. OMAC was his own character. He's the guy who had like the rainbow mohawk.
That seems Man, I feel like No.
I think you're right. I think Blue Beetle, because I think OMAC was part of the second season.
And that's what I was just thinking of too. After that movie, is the New 52 run of Blue Beetle is pretty fucking good. But yeah, I'm going Blue Beetle.
Okay, Blue Beetle.
OMAC number one came out first.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks, so came out week one, and then 2 weeks later, on September 21st, then Blue Beetle came out. OMAC's in the movie.
Oh, right.
I didn't know that going in. So is that a spoiler?
I don't know how it's a spoiler. I mean, we're spoiling it for the audience going in?
Yeah. No,
I think it's more of like an Easter egg.
I guess, yeah, they don't always refer to him as OMAC. They call it the OMAC system, but...
Yeah, right. The OMAC system, right.
Okay, so there you go. OMAC number one.
Ironic that you put Blue Beetle in, or... Todd put Blue Beetle and OMAC together, though. Crazy.
Here we go. Justice League International and Men of War number one.
What the fuck was the other one?
Men of War.
Men of War number Black one. Hawks.
Never even heard of that one.
You said you stared at this list forever?
Yeah, the ones I wanted to read.
That's the tough thing. You're finding, 52 titles came out, and only about 20 of those titles do we actually get.
Yeah.
You guys didn't read International?
No, I read Justice League International. But I felt like that was like a wave two after Justice League. I'm going to go with this Men of War.
Men of War? Okay.
Yeah. That's how it is.
They both came out the same week. First week.
Because I remember Justice League International, there was an event that brought it in. Because I remember there being, it was like with Pandora. It was like the big title-spanning.
It wasn't in Dark? It was in International?
No, I think it did. No, it did Justice League, Justice League Dark, and Justice League International. It was like a three-way crossover.
Because
I remember getting the connecting covers, if you know what I mean.
Batgirl number one and Batman number one.
Ooh, Batman totally. Oh,
no, Batgirl, because I think Batgirl came in between Detective and Batman. I think Batman was the third week.
Okay, I'm with Al on this one.
I'm gonna go Batgirl.
It is Batgirl. First week Batgirl, third week Batman.
Well, that's right. At least by when Batman came out,
because first week was Detective, I believe. Well, first official week.
Who knows? Maybe.
Marvin can't confirm or deny.
Can't confirm or deny. Legion Lost number one and Legion of Superheroes number one.
So I feel like that Legion Lost. That sounds more familiar than I don't think Legion of Superheroes came out right away.
Okay, let's go with that. Legion Lost.
Yeah, Legion Lost.
Legion Lost came out the second week, and then Legion of Superheroes came out the third week. So yes.
Nice.
The Savage Hawkman number one and Swamp Thing number one.
Ooh.
I want to say Swamp Thing came up first.
I'm thinking same week for some reason.
Okay. I had that thought that maybe it's the same week.
Maybe it's the same? Yeah, let me try the same.
Same week.
Incorrect. Swamp Thing came out the first week, and then the Savage Hawkman came out the final fourth week.
Okay.
Wow. Blackhawk's number one. And Hawk and Dove, number one.
Fuck.
For some reason, I think Blackhawks came out the fourth week. No. I'm going to go Hawk and Dove came out first, second week. Blackhawks came out the third week.
I have no idea, so I'm going with what Al said.
You said the Hawk and Dove came out what week?
First. I said second week.
Second, and then
Blackhawks came third. Out. Yes.
So you are right about the order in which they came out. So you get the point there. But if you spread it a little bit more, baby, Hawk and Dove was first week, and then Blackhawks was last week.
Really? Oh. Damn.
What about these two? Because I know these two, you guys were all the fuck over. Static Shock number one and Wonder Woman number one.
I gotta say Wonder Woman came out first.
Yeah, agreed.
Static Shock number one came out the first week and Wonder Woman came out the third week.
Wow.
Indeed.
I remember that Wonder Woman book. Getting that second issue. Oh my god, that first introduction to Cliff Chang, phenomenal. Still phenomenal now.
Yeah, that was a good run.
Ryan Azzarello, probably one of the last books I got from him until I got into Moonshine. The book, not the drink.
Or both.
Or both. I don't drink and read because it won't happen for very long.
How about Red Hood and the Outlaws number one and Mr. Terrific number one?
Oh, Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Agreed. Number one.
Fuck, that storyline was good.
That was a good one. It was over sexualized Starfire, but that book was fantastic.
Hey, man, she's in space. That's what they wore.
That's what they wore.
Mr. Terrific number one came out first.
Damn.
Came out on the second week, and then third week was Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I know. I love Red Hood and the Outlaws New 52 and the Rebirth. So good.
And finally, Superboy number one and Teen Titans number one.
I think Superboy number one was first week.
I think it came out first at least. I think Teen Titans came out the fourth week.
Yeah, do it, do it, do it.
Which one? It's first?
Superboy.
It's first.
Okay, so that is correct. Superboy came out the second week and Teen Titans came out the last week.
Nice. Yeah, because you know who drew Teen Titans?
Brett Booth, garbage.
You bet your ass.
Garbage.
Who drew Superboy? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
But do you remember this book club that we have?
Sure do. Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People proudly presents
Swamp Thing number two, Scott Snyder, Yannick Paquette. Big story block of words most of the time.
Yeah, I was like, is it number two as in it's the deuce, as in it's the shit, as in it's not that good?
Poopy? I was going to say, Garrett, did you like it?
No. I mean, okay. So I did like seeing Swamp Thing. That was great. The art was incredible. But it was hard to see the fucking art with all those text boxes. Like, I was like, I got to that, you know, the two-page spread of text. And I got through it. It took a while, and I was like, wow, that was a lot to digest. And then I turned the page, and I had a fucking back-to-back two-page spreads of just wall of text. And I was just like, if they do this for a third page, I'm just not going to read it. Like, I'm just going to turn it off. And thankfully, it went back to, like, a normal page. And I was like, geez. I mean, that's the Scott Snyder that we are afraid of, like the world-building, mythology-creating Scott Snyder. I'm like, holy shit, totally. Did you have to hold our hand through that?
I think it's weird as that, like, I go into this book and I must have, like, rose-tinted glasses when I read Clear 2 weeks ago, that's all I could see was no artwork. Just I was reading prose. Really? When I read this, I'm like, oh, this it does look beautiful. The art is great. The panel setups are phenomenal. Even the like how the panels are set with it being like vines or branches that are separating. I love that. But now I'm talking to you, and you're like, yeah, all I could see was text. I don't know where the pictures were. Again, we're reading prose, and you're right. That's Scott Snyder to a T. That has always been his crutch. And even when we were reading Batman New 52, I always felt that way. He didn't know what to strip it up.
What I will give to this issue is the last couple of pages, like, spoilers, bringing in Abby Arcane and, like, that reveal. Like, the last two pages, I was like, wow, if only the whole book, like, that whole issue was like this. Like, kind of getting into some action, you know, like, progressing the story and said, I'm so sick of, like, the Bruce Banner, like, I don't want to be Hulk. I just want to live my life. I just want to do construction and not be a biologist, you know? Like, he's fighting, not being swamping so much, he's not even going to go back and, like, use his, like, doctorate. Yeah, I'm going to work a fucking construction job, man. Why would I be a doctor and do what I love? I'll turn into Swamp Thing. So that I didn't like either. I'm like, okay, I get it. Like, if this is you, thank God this first arc is 7 issues, because I'm like, Jesus, can we get there?
What? I don't know. Good. I want to tell you that it gets better, but I'm starting to feel like I chose a bad book. Damn.
So far, it hasn't been great. It has looked great, though.
I last week lied to you that I thought the exposition for at least the Swamp Thing mythos was done, but yeah, you're right. This one, I think it looked beautiful, and most of the time when they could do it in a way that made sense, I didn't think the dialogue was that bad, but there are a good like 2 pages of Swamp Thing just explaining not only something that's so convoluted, it's like, why is it worth explaining? And also, he could literally just say, hey, the green, like, the reason why you didn't turn to Swamp Thing is because of the green, all the stuff that they said, like, just tell plainly to him and say, hey, you can either come and be part of us again, or you can choose not to. I just need you to hear me out. But it's like over 3 pages. It's like, I kept being like, bro, I got it.
Oh, when you were Swamp Thing, you weren't really Swamp Thing. You were a monster, but you could be Swamp Thing. It was like, you know, just like shitting all over, like, Alan Moore's Saga of the Swamp Thing. I'm just like, really? I'm pretty sure.
It was a very like burn everything. Let's start new. It's New 52. We're going to revamp this character. But then eventually over the years, they just kind of went back to same shit. Not same shit, but I mean, they just hooked it back to that old stuff. And now that's canon also with what's going forward. So in hindsight, this two issues of 3 pages about each of exposition is unneeded, because in the future, I know that all that shit doesn't, it's not necessarily true anymore. They kind of went back to how it used to be. So, otherwise, it looks beautiful. I was looking at this and I remember thinking back to when I first read this, when it came out that first week. I remember thinking at the time, being like, wow, like, not that it was my first time seeing unconventional panel layouts like this or the 2-page spreads that they had, but it was the first time, I think, in one of the big two that they allow someone to do something like that, I feel like. Obviously, it wasn't reading Eye Vampire, because I guess he was doing it over there too, but I guess they came out. Did they come out the same week? Who did it first? Let's see here. I'm pulling right back up here. Swamp Thing number 1 first week, and Eye Vampire last week. Okay. Anyways.
When did Animal Man come out?
Animal Man.
I think it was the first week, isn't it?
First week, yeah.
Nice.
And that comic too, I remember at the time thinking, being like, this is usually something you would get in a Vertigo book. So it was, I think at that time, refreshing, because to see something of that different kind of art style that wasn't trying to be just dark and gritty, that was trying to be something and also pertain, it was part of the storytelling. I remember at the time thinking that, I was like, wow, it kind of made me realize you don't need the standard, 6 or 9 panels, pages. So We'll see, though. I think the expedition dies with the Swamp Thing, because he did pass away. He went back to the green. His old ass was dying, and then you look over, and he melted to the ground. So I think he's the only one who knew all that shit, so I think we're done with that for right now.
Well, I also thought it was kind of lazy how, you know, the Swamp Thing that was, his initials were A.H. something, and I was like, really? Like, kind of like Alec Holland? You know, I was like, couldn't think of any other initials besides the main character's initials. Good work, good work.
And then, oh, in the beginning part?
With the pilot.
Yeah, the pilots, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm A.H. something, or like A.H. Smith, and I'm like, oh, I wonder what A.H. stands for.
Hey, Garrett. I don't think this happens in Scott's room, but in Charles Soule's room, it happens. Don't worry. As you stated, burned any kind of connection to Alan Moore's Swamp Thing, but yet they still reference it. In Charles Soule's, there is a Swamp Thing that looks like Alan Moore in that
room. Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, they really were like, somehow, like I said, they just went back and were like, okay, no, actually, why get rid of these classic things that, and that's kind of what happened with Rebirth. They were kind of like, why, like DC is certainly the imprint that has these kind of classic and monumental stories. Like when I say, hey, you want to get comics? I'm saying, you know, Dark Knight Returns. I'm saying Long Halloween. What are we got here? New Frontier. The Flashpoint, you know, there's things you can say, but for Marvel, it's like, okay, well, Winter Soldier, I feel like. They don't really do, they don't do these, even outside of, like, Kingdom Come, stuff like that, they don't really do these kind of, like, things that you can recommend to somebody in a one-and-done story, Killing Joke, you know, they don't do these kind of things. And so they kind of were like, why throw all that out? And that's kind of what, after 5 years, they were like, yeah, well, there was enough people being like, we miss the history of DC, and they finally chose to embrace it through, we'll call a blender of Rebirth, and they were like, okay, that's what is canon now.
Maybe, firing an editor or two.
Somebody. Did he?
Somebody that hated the color blue for some reason.
Yeah. And I believe he also is responsible for your Rick.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know if that was him, but could have been.
But yeah, like when they did the Rebirth and decided to let's embrace it again, but we can certainly make updates for the modern time rather than just restarting the whole thing. I think this 5 years is a nice, like, look at this time frame of, like, of the whole comic book industry at this time. Like, it was these imprints trying to do something to, like, shock this system to, like, get more people to read these books. And the New 52, I remember, did that. Like, they were selling so many of these books. Like, it got reprinted, like, 8-9 times, this thing. And if that's what it took, I can understand why they made this choice. Not to say this is bad that they, you know, as you were stating, Garrett, like, there's someone's exposition now because they got to reset some of these characters completely. Like, Batman, they didn't do shit to. His shit still existed. They were like, let's not get rid of that. There are some characters, though, and Swamp Thing was one of them, where they're like, destroy everything and start over. And so I think I remember that these first two issues are just like, yeah, this is part of the burning to get rid of it. Now let's, you know, sever that limb and continue forward with the new story. So
hopefully. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Maybe. So. And next week I might be saying, you know what? I fucking forgot. He comes back. Now he's a tree talking to him.
Alan. 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 Alec. Alec.
A-H.
Yeah.
There we go. One bad day, it's all it takes, Alex. I guess I was saying the Killing Joke. All it takes is one bad day. Can change anybody. There was a series of Batman books that came out this past 12 months called One Bad Day, about the Rogue Gallery, and kind of opens like its own universe. It's not really canon. But just these takes on these characters, and they basically gave them to writers and artists, like a team of creators, that they'd be like, you get this character, make a story, which I thought was cool. And when you look at those teams, you're like, those are impressive teams, most of them. And so we read the Ra's or Ra's Al Ghul one by Tom Taylor and
Ivan Reis, right?
Ivan Reis, yes. Yeah. and I kind of referenced this when I read it last week, Alex, and I was asking questions about it, but how they made him this environmentalist, and he's like turns the leaf and says, "No, like I'm gonna go and kill everybody that is killing these animals and this earth." He makes it his life mission to go on that journey. Do you feel like this is a direct retaliation because of Kraven the Hunter coming out here?
It has to be. I mean, it has to be the response to
Tom Taylor said, "I'm shooting first."
So can we? I was surprised how much I enjoyed this issue.
So fucking good.
How methodical Raish is, and honestly, I've always realized he hates people, but his way of punishing the bad is to kill them. This wasn't so much that the people were bad, but what they're doing is awful. And even this, I mean, spoilers when you get to the end of the whole issue, is that he even knows that he can't stop the Batman. The Batman is so stubborn that he himself needs to put him down permanently, or as permanent as possible. I was super impressed. Like, it was really, really good.
Well,
I liked it way more than I liked the Riddler storyline.
Oh, this one for sure is the best of all those One Bad Days, I feel. There was a lot of great ones, but this one was so good in that, like, I felt like I was totally totally in Ra's al Ghul's mind, and like his master plan was to make Batman or Bruce like think he won, you know, think he did what he was supposed to, so much so that it, like, you know, he thinks he's beaten Ra's, and then Ra's still has a master plan, you know, when he comes out of the Lazarus pit again, which I was just like, God, that's good storytelling, where it's like, yes, Batman figured out it was Ra's al Ghul, but that was his plan all along. He knew that Bruce was coming. Like, he, whenever he did something, he's like, ah, he's going to figure it out, but I got to make sure that, like, whatever I'm doing is still going to be going on after this is all over. And it does. So, but no, it just super, yeah, the art was great, and story was, it just sucked me in. Like, that whole third act of the comic, so fucking good.
I thought, as you were stating, like, the whole, like, strategy and everything, that's the thing with this book here. In this comic, they make Raish like a tour de force. Like, there's no stopping what he wants to fucking do. He's going to do it. It's just a matter of how is he going to do this, and how is he going to outthink the world's greatest detective. And he accomplishes what he wants to do in this this book, from when he sets out. And as you stated, Garrett, like, it's just like, I don't know, you don't know how you read this book and be just like, that dude is one bad motherfucker. You know, I mean, this guy, that's one person you don't mess with. You don't mess with a Raish. Right. You get stabbed in the stomach, I'll stab you.
Well, get your throat slit.
I think that's the first time that I think Raish has been one of those strong characters. Most of the time when he shows up, Batman puts him down, or it's this big duel between him and Talia or whatever. This one felt like the well-strategized character that he always should be, and he's always on par with Batman. And this is the first time where he does get to be on top. And even after he throws himself off the cliff, he knew that after he had killed himself, that what he had already put in place is going to stay. Fantastic. Like, if we ever rated this book, it would be a 10. This is a perfect issue. And it makes me appreciate Raish way more than I ever used to.
Agreed. I mean, I would give it a 10 as well. And I think this book, what it does is, it, like, you never get to see Raish. I can't say it. Ra's. You never get to see him, like, actually get close to completing his plan, because Batman always thwarts him. So you always think that his main objective is just power. Where I feel like this is true to who he is he does these things very aggressively. Like, he basically doesn't have Batman's rule about not killing and is trying to do the same thing. Like, I love that in Batman Begins, like, the movie, that you know, his character was like, hey, we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to do it by any means necessary, where obviously Batman doesn't want to do it that way. So I feel like in his mind, like, the logic is there for what he's doing. And I think this really showed, like, hey, maybe his way works. And of course, Bruce is going to say no. Like, and I love that about this comic too, is like, it was some of that, like, I got that, like, Rorschach vibe at the end of Watchmen, where I'm like, fuck, there's no way that Batman would let this fly. Like, even if it was doing better for the world, there's no way that Bruce would ever let, like, you can't kill people to get justice.
I wanted to, I was looking up to mention that also Danny Mankey on colors and Brad Anderson on inks, that it, even on, you know, like, the shading and the coloring of this comic is just, like, so, it, the tone that it takes, I think it fully pushes through what they're trying to tell with this story. And that's just, like, some of them are, like, beautiful skyscapes, and it's just like, and Ra's, whenever they show him, he looks powerful. He never looks like some schlub. Sometimes, as you were saying, like, Alex, like, I feel like in the past they might have, they treated this guy, sometimes they treat him like he should be treated, and sometimes they treat him like he's this guy who thinks that he's smarter, but he's not smarter than the Batman. But in this one, he felt powerful the whole time, and I think the way that it kind of was laid out helped with that a lot. And as you stated, I think it is one of the best ones of these things that came out. I think it's, I would say also, like, the whole idea for this one by day, they should do this more with different world galleries. Like, don't just stop at Batman. Like, have a whole, now go to Superman, do them, you know?
And yeah,
I think that would be cool, awesome, if they made this a thing going forward. Because it is nice sometimes just to see, if we're trying to tell a story of Ra's being the hero, whether he does it in a good way or a bad way, what would that look like? And I thought that, you know, as you stated, like, it's an interesting concept to look at rogue galleries and see, like, a different kind of side of them. And Ra's in this one, I felt like, brought him back to the old, you know, 70s Batman villain. This guy's ready to, he's ready to take Batman down, all the way down.
Did you guys ever play the Batman game, Batman Dark Tomorrow?
No.
Oh.
Where?
Yes.
Where at the end of the game, you end up having to have a sword fight with Ra's, and there is a way to get the good ending, and you got to go find the computer room or something and unplug it or whatever. But if you don't, you have to go sword fight Ra's, and you either beat Ra's, and I think you kill him, or maybe you don't kill him, but you incapacitate him. But when he goes unconscious, the self-destruct button hits, and he sinks the eastern coast and the west coast of the United States, or wherever Gotham is located, and sinks it. Or vice versa, you lose to Ra's, and he does the same thing. So no matter what, you lose. Unless you do that one unplugging of the machine or whatever it was.
What system was that for?
Mine was for the GameCube.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't that long ago. Well, I guess that is long ago now. Back in my day, you know.
Yeah. Well, back as far as you can remember. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Alex, I was going to ask you if you, I thought you were going to say Batman Forever on the SNES, if anybody's ever played that.
I haven't. I've got Batman Returns for the SNES.
You're going to get this forever. You know, you got to get back in the day when they used to, like, take little pictures of them, and that's how they were in the game. They weren't pixels. They were pictures running around.
Yeah.
How were the bat nipples on a handheld?
Oh, they're pointy.
Oh, this is SNES, baby. This is, you know, 4.6. This is 4.6 in your face, CRT.
Joel Schumacher would be happy.
I was thinking when you're talking about Ra's, Alex, that he needs to be treated like he's Ozymandias. Like, that's the level we're talking about with this guy. Like, he needs to be two steps ahead, as you stated, like, in that game, how he needs to do something of destruction. He has to win, and maybe you get him in the end, but he still wins. That's the kind of guy this is. He needs to be like, I launched the bomb, you know, what was it? How long ago? 40 minutes ago?
Yeah.
That's him.
I, like, after reading this book, I want them to do a remake of Arkham Asylum or Arkham City and fix how Ra's is. Give Ra's to be that more powerful character like he should be. And let him, when that final fight happens, it's not against Clayface. it's literally that final fight against Raish. And be make it where you have that option to either, if you lose, he kills you and blows up the world or whatever he wants to do. But I want, there needs to be a powerful Raish in the gaming world now as well. After reading this, I'm sure other people feel the same way, and they probably liked Raish for way longer than I have the last 3 hours since I read that issue. But this book has changed my feelings for that character, and I don't normally care for Raish. But now, I keep calling him Raish because we're friends, because I respect you. I don't call you Roz. I know you now. Gosh, what a good man.
Trying to think of what storyline. There's a storyline near the Nightfall saga that he's in that is pretty damn good, but I can't remember which one it is. But he's really that good.
That doesn't help me now, does it, Garrett? Gosh.
I'm going to think about it, and I'll let you know.
I think the only two things I've ever seen Raish in, outside of the more current Batman stuff that I have read, is the animated series, which those episodes are usually okay, but there's always so much focus on his, what is the henchman's name? The big burly dude.
Oh, fuck. I can see it.
Toe, Bun, Dun.
Abu? Not Abu. Nabu?
I think you're pretty close with Nabu, but it's always focused on the big burly dude fighting the Batman, when we all know that Raish is just as competent in sword fighting and hand-to-hand and everything else. I mean, he helped train the Batman to be the Batman, so.
Yeah, but guy's 700 years old. He needs to... Ubu. It's Ubu. You be you.
I will be me. Thank you.
You be you. A question. I do see, since they came out a while ago, that there is a box set of the hardcovers of all these. What would you gather the selling prices on that? Oh, let's talk MSRP.
I thought it was like 110. Well, I'm the sucker that paid $9 for every issue in print, so for the whole collection.
I'll let you know, it's all of them in hardcover versions, and then also the Killing Joke comes with it.
Oh, yeah.
I let you also know this, at least from this picture that they have up here. Seems like all the rest of them are brand new collections, and then the Killing Joke is just one they've had out forever. It's not like part of the set. They didn't redo it.
What was the MSRP?
You said 110. I said higher.
I said 130.
He said 130.
130 higher.
150?
Higher.
Not worth 200. It. Not worth it at all.
160.
Yeah, too fucking much. No.
160 is the list price, and Amazon you can get it for 143 though.
So it's what, 9 issues plus the Killing Joke? Not even 9.
I had it just pulled up here. Hold on a second, let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So almost $20 a book.
Yeah, you're getting ripped off.
They are releasing them individually later on, they stated. They didn't give an exact date on those, but I think this Raish one might be a good one to pick up. It does feel like a book you could give to somebody and just be like, read this. And it's one of those books as well done as like a Long Halloween or a Killing Joke that you could give to somebody and they could get the whole story in one thing and then kind of get a taste for what this character kind of means for Batman's universe. Like these, like especially Raish, and we'll talk about Raish, Penguin, Mr. Freeze. No? Yeah, maybe. Yep. And Riddler and stuff like that. Like these are ones that have been in the popular kind of eyes recently because of the Batman movie. So these would be great to be like, hey, you know, Raish from Batman Begins? Here's this. And like, this is what this motherfucker should have been. I like Liam Neeson saying, but it's nothing like this guy. Like this motherfucker, like,
yeah,
I'm scared of this guy. You know, he tells me to do something, I'm his right-hand man. I don't want to get, you know, the bad side of this guy.
Well, I loved when they not love, that's the wrong way to choose to say that word, but when they go to that yacht to go kill Edwards, and he cuts the son's throat open, and as they're flying, you know, getting back into the helicopter, he has the ninjas grab the body, because we don't need the detective coming to look for us, and he even not apologizes, but says he was wrong for overkilling that kid when it was all supposed to look like an accident. Also, the detective work in this book, phenomenal. When Bruce goes to look into the water, sees that, and then goes to talk to the coroner. Oh, yeah, we guess we never did check his lungs, but the, he had chlorine in it. Oh, so he's killed in the pool. Great. I was it was good. I was, I'm excited to read the other ones now. The Riddler one kind of put a weird taste in my mouth when we read it a couple of months ago. This one really spruced me up to be reading some Batman.
I think I read the Mr. Freeze one, and that's good, too. I like that one.
Yeah, I remember the Mr. Freeze one.
They're all, as Garrett said, they all are pretty good.
I will even say the one written by Jackson Kelly and Colin Lansing wasn't absolute dog shit, the Clayface one.
Yeah, they're all pretty good. Like, and if you... I mean, they're not $160 good, but if you ever were to find one of these half price, $10, yeah, go ahead and pick that shit up. Pick it up right now. There we go. That's one more, not one more day. That's Spider-Man. One bad day. Batman, one bad day. I did look to see if there was an announcement of maybe a second slate of books on another villain, and they said there was no news. But I hope they do use this as like something going forward. That each character gets their own. I know it's a Joker thing. One bad day, you know, can change some money, but you can call it that. I don't give a shit.
But I mean, just think the one bad day is just a reference to even Batman has one bad day. Yeah. And the one day that the bad guys win, what would that look like for them?
And they always use
Batman
Joker.
Batman died for 2 months and got stabbed through the heart.
Stabbed through the heart.
But just think, he's fine. I mean, he's dead now, but he's fine.
Yeah, it's like College Humor. He just went to sleep.
What do you mean?
He just goes to sleep.
You can call it one by day anyways, because even though that is a Joker thing, they use Joker as like the epitome of villains in DC. So whenever there's a villains thing, he's on it. So might as well make his thing the villain imprint over at DC. One bad day. You can have another bad day if you go to WednesdayComics.com, and I'm just kidding. You have a good day. Guaranteed by hashtag guest also one. Otherwise, if you don't, let us know, and I will have them contact you. WednesdayComics.com, download the show, subscribe to the show. Also go to WednesdayComics.com and click on that link to go to the website, which is a merch page, and get a little beanie. It's going to get cold a little bit. Not necessarily within, you know, now. I'm not talking next week, this week, but I'm saying, you know, fall's coming, winter's coming. You know what comes with fall and winter, Alex?
Snow.
Cold temps.
And wind. And the changing leaves and pumpkin spice and everything nice. Hell yeah.
So you need to get your sweaters, get your crew necks, your hoodies, get everything out, get the knitted, get a cardigan on, you know, whatever you got to do out there. I'm ready for this cardigan weather. So, go to our website and get yourself something warm, even a pillow. If you got to put that next to your face when you're sleeping with our faces on it, or not, you could just get one. This is Wednesday Comics. That's fine too. Make sure to visit our sponsors, RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. That's a Swampy, DC World Swampy on Instagram and Facebook. Nope, not Facebook, Twitter. Facebook is just Roots of the Swamp Thing. But Roots of the Swamp Thing, our sponsor, obviously we're talking about the Avatar of the Green today because we're reviewing that first volume there of the New 52 Swampy. But if you want to know everything, like I said, they fucking try to burn shit down. New 52 Swamp Thing. They said, motherfucker, you don't like fire? And they killed his history. Well, this guy over here, RootsOfTheSwampThing.com, this man preserved it for you. This man's got it all on there. So you want to see what happened before, you want to see what happens after. He'll talk about it there. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. And I think a part of the reason, and I think this is the slogan for the site, RootsOfTheSwampThing.com, Swamp Thing is like man. You and me. So that's a good quote.
Nice.
Yeah, I heard that in a movie one time.
I feel inspired.
Wow.
I think that was Batman and Forever. That I heard that in. Go also to our sponsors at RainbowComicsAndCards.com. RainbowComicsAndCards.com. Go there and you can maybe go. We're talking about this New 52 stuff. They got probably some stuff there. I know Alex showed me, and we're going to say it was at RainbowComicsAndCards.com, but that he saw a New 52 issue there. And so there, Wonder Woman. Recommend That's the thing too. We're going back and revisiting these, but there's some shit where we're not going to talk about, but it's good. The Batman was good. Wonder Woman was good.
Detective was good. Dark Knight was good. Obviously, Animal Man, Swamp Thing. Just a lot of good stuff. New 52, man, that's a good time to jump on for reading. Just reading Flashpoint was fantastic.
Flashpoint was good.
And I bought most of my New 52. I mean, honestly, I bought all my New 52 stuff from there. So, I mean, that's money well spent.
There you go. Rainbow. ComicsandCards.com. Sioux Falls location and also in Lincoln, Nebraska. Go to RainbowComicsandCards.com for more information. SuperCon 2023, Beyond the SuperCon. What's it called? Beyond the Con?
To Sioux Falls and Beyond.
Oh, to Sioux Falls and Beyond. Go to Sioux, S-I-O-U-X, PERCON.com. Go there, get your tickets, get your reservations for the hotel, you know, 3 days. I don't, once again, I said this last year, I'm going to say it again, Alex. You can go in for just 1 day? No. 3 day pass. That's the only thing allowed to you. You get the full weekend. I'm not saying that there's not a day ticket. I'm saying I'm going to be watching and I'm disappointed if I see you say 1 instead of 3 day pass.
Well, that's just silly. If you're not going to get the 3 day pass, you're going to miss out on all the sales, all the shows.
You got to get on that floor like a fucking Roomba, all right? You're going back and forth, going up and down the rows, and you got to make sure the shit's cleaned out. Now, that happens over the course of 3 days. You got
to get to those video games before Alex.
And Alex, guys, I mean, Alex can tell you, they don't just bring everything at once. They don't just bring everything. They don't just bring everything at once. The first day they bring us some stuff. Second day they bring new shit. All right, they know Alex is out there. There's a million Alexes out there. They've been there before. They want to say what you found last night. You decided to bring in.
To be fair, that's what we're going to talk about probably on that first show after the SuperCon. Alex, what did you buy? And I'm going to tell you everything.
I'm going to say, Alex, what did you buy? I'm going to say, Alex, what didn't you buy? But you know is going to be here tomorrow. That is, you know, the thing foaming at your mouth.
And you're not. Honestly, I've told myself that I need to hold off on buying much more stuff from eBay because I got to save my moolah for the end of the month.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I'm going to do on Friday. I'm going to go eat lunch either with my bros or by myself and then meet my bros at SuperCon. When they open that floor, bro, I'm going to go shopping.
Bro, I have the day off and I'm getting there Thursday night so that I can do stuff Friday before it starts.
Damn straight. Garrett and I going to lunch. Marvin?
What days will that be, Alex? September?
It's the 29th.
29th, 30th, and October 1st.
Correct.
That weekend there. Yes, I will be taking that day off so we can get some lunch. Let's do this, mm-hmm. You know, let's not do this bullshit walk to that gas station shit. We're going to do this right this time. Let's not do the late kind of lingo over to Five
that
Guys.
That was Saturday. Hey, Five Guys was awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was good.
That was a good night, but let's plan ahead next time.
Yeah, we'll plan ahead. Of course, we got to eat, baby. And let's not eat hot dogs that are at that arena.
That are great.
That's right. A pass. Oh, my God, guys. We'll end on this story here.
Oh, God. Don't even bring it up. I got to sleep tonight. Don't bring it up.
So these hot dogs, right? I'm not blaming SuperCon.
We're supposed to promo.
Listen, the hot dogs are probably – there's no way these hot dogs survived over the last year.
If they did, they'll definitely kill us this time.
Yeah, they're saving one crock pot with your name on it, Marv. It says gray since 2022.
But I here's the thing that happened. And it's probably because I got kids. And also they put some stuff in the back in the fridge and cover something. And I'm like, and clean out the fridge, obviously, seeing what's good, what's not good. And one stuck by me, a package of hot dogs. And I was throwing them away, and so I looked at them, and it was the same color as the ones that we had at that arena.
Oof.
And it brought me back, and I was like, damn, I guarantee you those were old dogs that we ate. But then it made me laugh because I was like, Alex did not get sick. Me and you did. We all, and he, this motherfucker.
Well,
did you have
Alex,
two?
You see, Alex has a stomach of quite impressiveness. Like, I mean,
this motherfucker had
I used
two.
To watch him eat like pizza pockets like all the time. curl box down and be like Pizza Pockets, Scooby-Doo style.
I think we mentioned this last year, and I'm going to bring it up here again. It's probably all that monster dissolved it right away when it hit your stomach.
I was going to say, imagine all the acid that lives in my stomach. It hit it and melted it all. So. Yeah.
What else is in there?
And then his body couldn't absorb it, put it in his bloodstream because of all that monster. And they're making it, as Garrett stated, gel. What do they call it?
What?
Remember you said that his monster makes your blood turn to slush or something like that? Oh,
it's like a goo. It's like thick.
Gelatinous?
Gelatinous.
So then, syrup. You know what that does, Garrett? Me and you? It went right into our bloodstream. We got sick. Alex is like it was a fucking, the wall of China. And this old hot dogs couldn't get in. And so he hit the eject button on that motherfucker and sent them on its way. Meanwhile, me and you, we ingested it. Kind of like, you know how Animal Man is connected to the red and Swamp Thing to the green. We got connected to this hot dog, the gray.
And guess what? It turned into the brown. If I'm not gonna lie,
but this motherfucker hung on for life. This motherfucker said, "I'm not going quietly," and so we had to go. Like, not to be graphic, but Baker's dozen kind of times to rid us of the rot.
Anyways, this has been Wednesday Comics. We can only get so shitty for you guys. So.
Like a Baker's dozen.
My name is AH.
I'm AP.
G-Dub.
Hey, everyone. Keep turning those pages.